Let's talk about the ingredients of a successful year. We want you to have a successful year. But in order for you to have a successful year, by the way, could you just say amen if you want to have a successful year?
Amen.
Do you want to succeed in life? Obviously, all of us want to succeed in life. Okay, let us help you, because we've lived a little bit longer than you. We know how to have a successful year. We have labored here at Files Anderson College. We know the flaws. We know the mistakes. We know what makes a successful year. We know what makes a failure. So let's go into that, how to have a successful year. Number one, we've got to understand that we, Files Anderson College, will labor intensely to help you become a success in whatever endeavor God has planned for you. Your parents, your pastors, your youth directors have mentored you all your life. We're just picking up the baton, and we're going to put some finishing touches on you. We can't put the finishing touch on you, because that's what God will do, and that's what life experiences will do. They will mature you in the faith. So let's talk about our obligation and our responsibility. Let's talk about a successful year. First, let's read this out loud together. Ready? Give your first hour of the day to God. All right. Tithing, our first 10% goes to the Lord. How about giving your first hour of the day to the Lord? Now, I know you returning students, you say, Brother Douglas, I get up at 7:40 because I have an 8 o'clock class. Well, you didn't give your first hour to God. Can I just say, from years and years and years of experience of sleeping and getting up, whether you get 20 or 30 more minutes or 1 hour sleep more, it is not going to make a difference. I promise you that is a true statement. And so you might as well get out of bed, and one of the most difficult things that any of us do is what? Get out of bed in the morning. And so get out of bed, give that first hour to God. Now listen, if you give your first hour to God, you are well on your way to having a successful year at Hiles Anderson College. But Brother Douglas, all these things I have to do. Give God your first hour. Let's say it again. Give God next. Give Jesus the preeminence in your life. Now listen, again, being a Christian for many years, there are many distractions in our life. Your bus route and your bus kids should not take the preeminence in your life. Your bus division should not take the preeminence in your life. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend should not take the preeminence in your life. Not even your parents have earned that role yet. I should not. Pastor Wilkerson should not. Your youth director. Nobody should take the preeminence in your heart other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, I could just end this whole session right now and say, give Jesus the preeminence in your life. Now, what you do with your life is really going to reveal who is preeminent in your life. And you are going to, listen, all the excitement is stirring right now. There was a buzz on this campus yesterday. And there will be a buzz for several days to follow. It will be exciting. But the day will come where the excitement of the new school year will wear off. And this is where fatigue can set in. And this is going to reveal what you're really made of. And I promise you that if you give God the first hour of your morning and you give the Lord Jesus Christ the preeminence, the premier place in your life, you're going to have a great year. You must ask yourself frequently, Lord, is this pleasing to you? Next, we're talking about how to have a good year. Don't neglect your spiritual disciplines. This is the number one flaw of college students, not only here at Hiles Anderson College, but everywhere. We run hard here, intentionally. We run very hard. You're going to have an academic schedule. You're going to have a work schedule. You're going to have a ministry schedule. But you cannot allow those schedules to crowd out your schedule with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. And we will know when you do. It's going to show up in your sloppiness. The entire book of Hebrews addresses spiritual neglect. There are a lot of things that I am not. I am not a highly gifted, talented person at all. But there is one thing that I've got down, my spiritual disciplines. Early in the morning, I'm up. I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading Christian books, I am meditating, I am praying. And that God can verify. I need Him. And you need Him also. And in your youthful mind, it's like, yeah, but I got to do this, I got to do this, I can't get up. Discipline yourself. And again, we're turning you into soldiers for Christ. We've got to put away the laziness and the carnality in our lives and say, I'm going to be a soldier for Christ. Don't neglect your spiritual disciplines. Next. Let's say these two words. Ready? Let's say them again. That is a powerful statement right there. Be grateful. Everybody on this campus that serves you, you ought to express your gratitude towards them. Let's take the dining hall ladies and the dining hall staff. Thank you. You have no idea of the hours they labor putting food in our stomach, on our plates first and then on our stomach. Not only the people that cook it, but the people that serve there. There's some of our F1 students who, in my opinion, are at the top of my, I respect these people. They work very hard. Tell them thank you. Tell your teacher thank you. Often when my class is dismissed, people will walk by the pulpit or the lectern and say, thank you, Brother Douglas, thank you. They don't have to say that, but they do. And you know what? That encourages me. Every week, pastor is here. After he preaches a message, you either need to write a note or you need to verbally say, thank you, pastor. And the chapel speakers that come, thank you, pastor. We are Americans. We live in the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. We are also some of the most ungrateful people on the face of the earth because we are a generation of entitlement. Change your life. Be grateful to your roommates. Be grateful for the OSL staff. Be grateful for the faculty members. Be grateful to God for all that He has given us. Two powerful words. Let's say them together. Ready? Be grateful. Let's move on. I like this one. Personal discipline. That's a choice. That's a choice you're going to make. Can we all agree that by just us in our nature, we're very lazy people? How many say, Brother Douglas, I got a lot of laziness in me? We do. And it is a choice. It has to be something intentional that I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to do it whether my body feels like it or not. Regardless of how much my mind is resisting, it is the right thing to do. I will do it. If you're here and you say, God has called me to the ministry. God has called me to be the pastor. I can tell you right now that if you are a lazy individual, you will never make it. And if you do, you won't stay there long. At some point in your life, you're going to have to choose personal discipline. When that alarm clock goes off and you have been working for 8 straight hours, and the next, and then you've had the ministry, and you're all day on the bus route, and then you're Sunday, you're ministering to the bus kids, and you ride the night bus, and then you got to go back to work Monday afternoon, it's going to grow on you. It really is. So there has to be those personal disciplines. We'll teach another session tomorrow, but much of your personal discipline is going to be determined, are you listening, by what you put in your mouth. Now I'm tinkering. Now I'm meddling with you, aren't I? Yeah, go ahead and stop at Dunkin' Donuts and Munster Donuts and all those other kind of places. But I promise you, what you put in that mouth is going to affect this brain right here. Go ahead, heap that plate up. Now, that doesn't happen often here at Hiles Henderson College Dining Hall. But I've been in ministry long enough to do second looks and third looks at people's helpings. It's like, whoa. That's like Mount Everest you got on top of your plate there. Totally unnecessary. You are forcing your body to digest all that, and it has to work overtime, triple time, quadruple time, just because you didn't have the appetite. Now, certainly, all of us deserve a little bit of pleasure in that area, and we all say, and that's fine. You know, I go to the bookstore here and I get a candy bar and people are gasping. Bro,
Brother Dantas, you're eating a candy bar.
Well, I deserve a little bit of pleasure too, you know. It's good for the tongue, it's good for the brain. Next, work hard. Now, Pastor will address this at some time in the course of the year, but I hope he doesn't. If you get a job in this area, you work. Everybody there should be able to say, he is some of the hardest working people that we've ever had here. McDonald's has been very good to us, has given us thousands of dollars worth in scholarship. If you work at McDonald's, do not disappoint. Wherever you work, at a trucking company, at a tire discount place, you work hard. You be diligent. You communicate with your supervisor. Very, very important. Work hard. Next, confidence. All right. Confidence has to be developed. Can we be honest with each other? Just shake your head. Can we be honest? Promise? Let's just talk to the freshmen first.
Get them.
What do you mean, get them? I'd rather get the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. How many of you are a little bit nervous, a little bit uncertain, a little bit fearful? That's all right to admit. It's all right to admit. But look here. One of the greatest blessings to me is to watch young people come to Hiles Anderson College who in many cases are afraid of their own shadow. I've described me when I came here to Hiles Anderson College. 4 years in the Army, guns, hand grenades, all that stuff, that was cool to me. Working with people was frightening. It was pretty frightening. And I was one. It's like, oh my goodness, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. But one of the greatest blessings is seeing somebody that comes a little bit fearful, a little bit insecure, but you find out we're all kind of alike. We express our Christian love one to another, and you get caught up in the bus ministry, and you get caught up in loving children who are less blessed than you, and the confidence begins to grow. I was walking in the hallway yesterday. I won't mention his name, but I put my arm on him, and I said, you know what? I'm so proud of you. You have developed so much. And I reminded him of some of the things that he used to be, but now that young man is a very confident young man. You've got to develop confidence, and the confidence is not in you. That is stupid. Confidence in is how much God loves you. Amen. And how much God can use you, and his stamp of approval, his death, burial, resurrection that paid our sin penalty. Let's go back to that. Let's stay there. He's cutting off the tee. I can do it. And you can do it this school year. Next. Healthy self-perception. I cover this in my preparation for leadership class. There you go. You're not a little kitty cat. You're a lion. Now look up here. Listen. Some of you beat the stuffing out of yourself. And that's not healthy. We've all heard this statement, but God does not create junk. Each and every one of us were uniquely designed for a purpose. And it's just amazing to me as a mature Christian adult how God can use somebody like me. God can use somebody like you. But through this year, and especially if you're going to be in my freshman preparation for leadership class, we're going to work on this, developing a healthy perception. You're not a bad person. You're a sinful person. And especially ladies, because you don't look like some Hollywood star. Well, thank God for that. If you know all they went through to look like they do, they don't have time to live life. God created you exactly the way you are. I'm looking out now and I'm seeing people that have inherited weaknesses, infirmities. The Bible name is infirmities. I glory in my infirmities. Number one, because the Apostle Paul gloried in his infirmities. But you have to develop a healthy self-perception. Next, surround yourself with positive influences. Let's take a break. Let's stand up. Let's stretch. Let's shake a hand. If you are able to, within the rules, hug somebody, all right? Siéntate, por favor. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Hey, guys, not too much hugging, okay? That's kind of weird when you embrace for 15 seconds. Hugging is good when it's appropriate. And, of course, here at Hiles Anderson College, we have rules. It releases chemicals in the brain that make you feel good about yourself. All right. Endorphins, exactly. Actually, it's not endorphins, it's dopamine. Now, listen very carefully. Yesterday, y'all were coming in with your parents. Not that we have bad students, but we have spiritually immature students sometimes. Actually, Josh is maturing at a rapid rate. I'm very proud of Josh. But listen, can I just paint a scenario here? If you come here and all you do is whine and complain, God bless you, but you need help. And a lot of your whining and complaining is from the previous slide. You have a very unhealthy self-perception. So you got to bring everybody down to your level. Could I suggest to each and every one of you, find people that are positive. Find people that are loving, caring, and kind. And be with those people. This is very, very important. Find people that are consumed with their ministry and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from, I'm saying it, stay away from, but help when you can, people who are selfish. Selfish people are carnal people. Literally, spiritually speaking, because carnality wants to please the flesh. Got to have everything my way. Godliness denies that type of thing. And so get yourself around positive influences. If you don't know who you should be around, go to your resident supervisors, your dorm supervisors, Brother King, Brother Osgood, Mrs. Bushy. Just say, insert me somewhere. I just saw Joy White. Joy, this is the first time I saw you. Hang around Joy. Her name is perfect for her, Joy. So now you're going to have 300 students hanging around you, Joy. Positive influence are very important. Next, this is real important. Get God's favor upon your life. You know how you get God's favor upon your life? Anybody want to guess on that one? What do we got to do? We praise him. We humble ourselves. God resisteth the proud. We will never bring God's favor upon our life. If there's one thing that I want in my life, is God's favor. Amen. God's favor is grace. And God will always resist the proud. If you are a proud person, and you just shake your head because all of you are proud people, and you know what? I struggle with it too. It is a disease. It is toxic that will just, you can be totally humble at 7 o'clock in the morning. And if you're not careful and if you're not yielded, that pride will creep in once again. But get God's favor upon your life. Next, morale, the mental and emotional condition. Enthusiasm, confidence, loyal of an individual or group to regard to the function of task at hand. And I mentioned that we are going to return to this thing called morale. Listen, I have been in, take the military. My 2 years in Germany, it was just a, excuse me, let me use a word from the 70s. It was a bummer. I just really dated myself there. It was a drag. It was just like, ugh. And we had little cliches, again, that I cannot mention, but we just did not like what we were doing or who we were with. Flip, fast forward, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. It's almost like those people prayed for war. Let's go kill somebody. That was high morale, though, in military. I don't want you to pray to go kill anybody, but you ought to feel good about what you are doing here. Now, their ingredients, let's talk about them. First of all, healthy morale is priceless. Please don't be confused to think money will make you happy, though. Although it makes me happy. Next. Unhealthy morale is destructive. I hate computers, and this is probably really should, my picture should be there. Again, you will never have a healthy morale if you're a lazy person. It's hard also, and I'm not going to be harsh here because sometimes we can't control it. If you're unhealthy, your morale is not going to be at its peak. And again, later this week, I'm going to talk about how you can be healthy. You live in dormitories where one person is sick, it is very likely that the entire room is going to be sick. And there are ways to prevent these type of things. So once again, unhealthy morale is very destructive. Let's move on. The role of Hiles Anderson College is developing a healthy morale. That's our job. But you have to follow suit. Let's talk about it. We need to help you believe you are part of something bigger than yourself. Now, you're all going to get mad at me in some fashion or form right now, but you're not the biggest thing on the face of the earth. I mean, you're very unique. You were designed by God Almighty. You're very special, and God loves you unconditionally as he does me. But many of you grew up in very loving Christian homes. You were the star of the youth program. You were the star of the church. Everything was about you. Everybody showed your love. Now, that's getting weird. What's going on there? But you come to Hiles Anderson College with hundreds of people like that. You're not the star of the show anymore. Nobody's the star of the show. I'm not the star of the show. The Lord Jesus Christ is the star of the show. I'm just like you. I'm just a little bit older. Or a lot older. So, what is bigger than you? Ministry. Spreading the gospel. Giving your life to young people to influence them, to disciple them, to win them to Christ. To help your roommate, to say thank you to the people that help you, to work hard. All this is a part of saying there's something bigger than me. What I'm trying to say in one statement is forget about yourself. Lose yourself. Now that's difficult to do because of one word, pride. Pride wants to put you at the pinnacle of life. Humility puts you down here, it puts you like Christ. So many things are bigger than us, and we've got to remember that. Next. It is our job to show we care for you. And we do. We love you. You're going to see it throughout the year. Can I just say, I'm not a big respecter of persons. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My mother raised me and my three brothers as a single mother, but at that time it was me and my two brothers, and then another brother came later after she remarried. I know what it's like going to the store, the grocery store, with food stamps. I don't know if the food stamps are still an issue, but we were on welfare. My mother worked as a bartender and a waitress. She did the best she could do. I know what it feels like to be poor. I know what it feels like to go through the lunch line in high school with a reduced ticket that was a different color. And students making fun of me because I was one of those poor kids. So I just said, okay. I waited every day that entire year to be the last one at the end of the line in lunch line so people wouldn't ask me, why do you have a blue ticket? Because my parents can't afford to pay the full price. Those words never came out of my mouth. So many of you here grew up in great homes. Many of you grew up here with well-known Christian leaders. I love you just like I love the poorest person here. All of us do. Don't forget that. If you're here and you say, Brother Douglas, I did not grow up in a privileged home. You just described my home too. My heart goes out to you. To me, you're very special. And to me, God can use you greatly. Just as much as God can use those who had all of the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, and they grew up with good, godly Christian home. I don't want to be a respecter of people here. I love every Hiles Anderson College student. And so does our administration, faculty, and staff. We, it is our responsibility to show we care. Next, design a challenging schedule. That's our job. Intentionally, it's a tough schedule. Do you want to be a softie, or do you want to be a soldier for Christ? Every once in a while, we will sense, the troops just need a break. And sometimes we'll come into chapel and announce day off. We also know... Y'all look tired. We have tomorrow off. And we know when you're faking it too, okay? And I hope we can go through the whole year without doing that. But know this, we are sensitive. But again, by design, we want to make the schedule tough. The schedule was tough when I was a Hiles Anderson College student. I worked 40 hours plus per week. I was in the bus ministry all weekend. I was a bus captain. I was a division leader. And then I got married and I had to be a husband. It was not always easy. And so know this, our schedule is going to be challenging by design. Next. It is also our role to influence you to always do your best. We're going to push you at times. You're going to be whining at times to your resident supervisors and to the ladies and the men that are the front troops, the ground troops, the infantry of this institution. Most of us are pretty good at knowing when you need a break, and most of us are very good at saying, wah, wah, wah. Go get the job done. It's as simple as that. We always want to influence you. All right, next. Yeah. Our role is also to support you when you are weak. And we do a good job at that. We can discern when you really need a help. We can discern when you need some time off. Next. It is our role to show you respect as a fellow Christian. I am not and we are not any better than you. We're just more experienced. We're older. You are our younger brothers and sisters in Christ that we are training to do what we do right now. And as you passed through the hallways yesterday, my mind kept on wandering to, I wonder what great Christian leader is passing through these hallways at this very moment. I wonder what future great leaders are in this room right now. So yes, we have a lot of respect for you. Next. It is our role, institutions that play together, stay together. Now, you always like this one. You got to learn how to laugh. Now, can I be honest? When I came here, Brother Lutz, 4 years in the Army, that kind of really programs your brain. And I had to detox, I really did, because we were trained to just be aggressive and just, I hate to say it this way, but you're trained to kill people. It sounds pretty harsh, but that's what you do. And so I came to Hiles Anderson College, and I was basically like this. Finally, I found a few good guys that were first-generation Christians just like me that I connected with. But can I just challenge you to laugh? Laugh is another one of those things that releases chemicals to the brain. It's called dopamine. Not endorphins. You have to work for endorphins. Two chemicals that you should enjoy, endorphins and dopamine, all right? You can't buy them on the shelf, although there are foods that have those things. For endorphins, you got to sweat. You got to work hard. And that's when you get your second wind. That's the endorphins. Dopamine, laugh. Dopamine, eat a chocolate cake. It brings pleasure to the brain. All right. Upperclassmen, let me challenge you to spend time with the freshman class. put your arm around them, give them a hug, and say, hey, we're going to make this together. Next. Discipline yourself physically, spiritually, and emotionally. All right, now I'm going to say it. Oh, should I say it? Should I? All right, here we go. You did not come here to gain weight. Listen, when you go home, when you go home on Christmas break and your mom looks at you and says, sweetheart, that's not a good testimony for our Savior, nor is it a good testimony for Hiles Anderson College. And most of it, listen, is because you're an emotional eater. What does that mean? That means when your emotions are disturbed, you eat food to make yourself happy. I am an emotional eater. Some of you starve yourselves when your emotions is not like. Now, but discipline yourself physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I wish we had more facilities to help you work out and exercise, but you know what? I've seen on many occasions, girls go out early in the morning, they jog around the football field. That is great. If you want to do that, and within the guidelines of the rules of Hiles Anderson College, do that. You need that physical exertion. Last night when I went home, I worked out. 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night, I went and worked out. I sweat until it's pouring off of me. And yes, I was under the influence of endorphins. Discipline yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally. Next. I'm not sure what the picture has to do with this statement, but I guess they have nice hair, I guess. Encourage one another to do right.
Amen. That's good.
You have every right. Now listen, look, listen. We need spiritual leaders in the dormitory. You say, well, I don't have a title. Doesn't mean you cannot influence. Everybody, there needs to be somebody on every floor, in every room that says, no, I don't think we should do that. I don't think you should be texting somebody at 11:30 at night. I promise you, if you're texting at 11:30, 1 a.m. in the morning, it's not good. You are saying things that you would never say to them face to face. We have had to expel, I don't know how many students, for doing really, really, really stupid things with our screens. Cell phones, iPads, computers, stupid things. You need to encourage one another to live a godly, holy life. Encourage people. Next. That's a picture of Nathaniel Harrelson when he was a kid right there. Let's read this one together. Ready? Laugh, have fun, be a little. You got to do it. Reason? Dopamine. Next. Stay focused on God's purpose for your life. There's going to be many distractions this school year, I promise you. Fatigue will be one of them. Fatigue is an enemy of your sanctification. And you must fight for, and sanctification is that spiritual growth, becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. Dating can become a huge distraction. And I challenge you freshmen to really, really think twice about getting in a steady dating relationship. And the priority should be this: what does your parents say? Many parents are neutral on that. What has your pastor taught you, your pastor back home? What has your youth director said? There are many students here that say, I'm not dating my freshman year, and I have great respect for that. I'll say it again. I have great respect for that. And if your parents wish upon you not to date your freshman year, everybody should respect that. Your hands are not screwed on like they should be until you're about 20, 21, 22, somewhere like that. You are not strong enough to deal with the emotions of love and lust. You just can't handle it. You say, I am the exception to the rule. And I say, ha, ha, ha. Dating takes quite a bit of maturity. And can I just say this? Brother King is going to cover this for the next couple days. We're not going to fight dating couples anymore when you sit too close to each other and when your noses are that far from each other. We're not going to fight that. We're just going to slap you with some pretty big points. Not following procedures. And some of you are going to start off with 20 points, not the 3 or not the 5. Because you know better. We're not going to continue. You men who constantly are problematic because you think you're more of a man when you don't shave. You don't get 3 points. We're going to give you 20 points. When you understand what you should be doing and you refuse to do it, it is non-compliance. You're raising this flag and said, I don't have to. Okay, first of all, I would never want to be a member of your church because you'll do it. You'll have the same attitude about God. Daniel, good to see you. Listen, if you're not going to submit to man's authority, you're not going to submit to God's authority. Are we clear on that, couples? Don't be nervous. But we have an obligation to your parents and your pastor back home that you're going to become, you'll stay pure. You're not going to lose your purity at Hiles Anderson College. And we will fight for that. I understand the whole falling in love stuff. I understand very well the nature and the laws of attraction. I get all that stuff. And that's why we're going to be very proactive in this. I'm not going to get into your dating life, nor is anybody else here. I'm not going to come to you and say, you shouldn't date him or you shouldn't date her. I'm not going to say that. That's not my role. But if you come to me, I'm going to give you references. If you come to Brother Lutz, he'll give you references. Let's move on. Stay focused on God's purpose in your life. Next, let's say it.
Don't quit.
Don't be a weakling. Don't quit. Let's read this one. Remember that guy that gave up? Neither does anyone else. Stopping at third adds no more to the score than striking out. It doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish. By Billy Sunday. Let's have the lights on. Brother Lutz, what do we got next? Okay, Brother King's going to come talk to you. Stand up, take a little bit of a break. A stand-up break only. Brother King, come on up. It was a great day when Hiles Anderson College hired Brother King and his wife Amanda. Brings a lot of experience to the table. Youth director for how many years? 15 years, and also pastored for years down in Georgia. And so we got great experience here. Give each other a hug again. Let's just get those dopamine. Let's shake hands so he doesn't have to speak to a dead crowd. If you're sitting or standing next to your boyfriend, girlfriend, I apologize, okay?
All right, go ahead and be seated. Be seated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a man in our church that sends out text messages of Bible verses every morning, and I asked him to include me in that list. And I'd encourage you to do something like that for other people and for yourself if you can. But what he sent me this morning.